But I feel like the Lord gave me a message this morning on the church of God. And I want to look through the scriptures and see what it says about his body and about the church. I believe it's very important that we understand what the kingdom of God is and what it looks like. I thought about the scriptures. They tell us the way to heaven. It says that they give us instruction in righteousness. They give us the description of the marriage covenant and of the family and of the responsibilities of the family. It tells us of the one true God and the one true Lord of glory. And it gives us also a description of the body of Christ, the foundation, the building of God's church. And you know, this morning, there's a lot in the scriptures. So with many scriptures, we'll probably only scratch the surface some. But I want to start in Matthew 16 and 16. And it says here, and Simon Peter answered and said, well, starting at 15, Jesus asked him, he saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And he asked Peter this, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You know, this morning, Peter had gotten a hold of something. He knew that Christ was the Messiah. He knew that Jesus was the Christ. And the Lord told him, Peter, Simon Peter, you didn't just, that's not something that flesh and blood has revealed, but the Spirit, my Father, has revealed that to you. And you know, this morning, I believe God wants to reveal some things to us. This was a standard for Peter. When he understood that Jesus was the Christ, then he followed him wherever he went. And he stood with him and through thick and thin. And we know Peter had a little failing there. But I will tell you, Peter's heart was with the Lord because he knew God had revealed something to him. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to reveal to us what his body looks like. The church of God, what it is and what it is not. And some things that we will not easily be dissuaded from. It goes on to say, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, was he going to build his church on Peter? That's what the Catholics believe, that he was the first pope, if you will. But, you know, we will read plenty of scriptures to show who that rock was. It says that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church of God, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, is not something that Satan can prevail against. It's a kingdom of peace. It's something God puts in people's lives. It's a kingdom of holiness. And man cannot take that from us. It's something that will reign until Jesus comes back, and then it will be consummated with him in glory. And he said here, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, you know, I want to come back to some of those scriptures, but I'm thinking this morning about some of these. Let me go to a few other scriptures and we'll come back to this. I want to make this little jot for a reason. Acts 20 and 28. Now, Jesus said here in verse 18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, what is his church? What is the church of God? In Acts 20 and 28, we see here where Paul was speaking to the people and leaving, and he told them, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church of God is a divine organization that the Lord purchased with his blood. When he shed his blood, there was a kingdom that began at that time. It's not a kingdom that's built by somebody. It doesn't have a headship in the earth or on the earth, but its head is Christ. And we'll read those scriptures in a few minutes. But he said, feed the church of God. If you read through the scriptures, you find many places where another place in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, Paul wrote unto the Corinthians, and he said, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, you know, he tells us a little about it there. He says, he writes this letter to the Corinthians, and he said, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. You know, you will find all through the description of God's people, of God's kingdom. It is a kingdom of holiness. It is a kingdom. Does this seem strange to call somebody saints? That's because they were living holy. Some religions want to saint people after they die. If we're saints, we're saints now. And we never will be more than we are now. But the Lord wants his people and his kingdom. It is a kingdom of righteousness. It is a kingdom of peace. It's not something made by men's hands. It doesn't have a president here in this earth. And I want to come back now over here to Matthew 16 and look at some of these things. Before we go on down into the church, I want to make a comment on what it means here, where it says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know, what are the keys to the kingdom of heaven? It unlocks the truth, doesn't it? It's the Word of God. And when ministers are anointed by the Spirit of God, and when they have more than just a theory or a religion or something they joined, and they're anointed by the Spirit of the Lord and preach the Word of God, you know, men's souls hang in the balances with that. When men hear the truth of the gospel, and we hear of that, we're responsible, aren't we? He said, I'll give unto them the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You know, as my understanding of this, when we preach the Word of God, there's people that are loosed and there's people that are bound by that very word. I was thinking about the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 2 and 15, where it says, 2 Corinthians 2 and 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. In the sight of God speak we in Christ. And you know, I believe that explains what the Lord was talking about here when he talked about the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We're the savor of life to those that take life, and we're the savor of death to those that reject the blessing of the Lord upon them. I want to look at what the word church means. The Greek word is ecclesia, as most of us know, a calling out, a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation. And it goes on in parentheses, a Jewish synagogue or Christian community of believers on earth or saints in heaven or both, assembly, church. I believe if you really study the word, probably congregation is the more proper word. But if we understand church to not mean a building and an organization of man, and we understand church to mean the believers, those that have been called out from sin and from other from false doctrines, from sectism, from those kind of things, then I believe we find what this is talking about, the assembling of ourselves together. I want to look now and begin to study the different aspects of the church that the Lord brings out in His Word. And if you'll bear with me, because I know it's a lot of scriptures, and it might be a little slow here for a bit. But in Ephesians 2 and 19, I want to start getting a picture of what the Lord paints the church as. And He does. He paints it in very graphic language or very well-spoken language. 2 and 19 of Ephesians, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints." And there's that word again. Is that a strange word, saints? Saints are holy people, aren't they? And yet it's used just through the scriptures, addressing the people of God. And it says, "Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." That includes the Lord, doesn't it? "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Now, what did Jesus say? "Upon this rock I will build my church." And here the scripture very plainly brings out that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. It wasn't Peter that was the rock. It wasn't Peter. Peter failed the Lord a little while after that, but the Lord was the rock. And it says He was the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord. You know, in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, that's what the church of God is. It's a habitation of God through the Spirit. It's not a man-made organization. It doesn't have a headship anywhere here. I don't know who I would call to try to find the head of the church except call on the Lord. He's the head, isn't He? He's the rock. He's the stone that this whole thing is built upon. And it says, "In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." You know, the Lord wants us to build our lives on that rock. And He wants us to be a piece of the building. He wants us to recognize, you know, the Lord's not wanting this thing to be something we can't discern. He wants His building to be something where we're a piece of it. And our life fits in because God fit us in to it. And we're built upon the teachings of the apostles. When it says here, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, it's talking about upon the teachings that the prophets and the apostles gave us. So we have something to build on, don't we? And I just trust that the Lord this morning, through many scriptures, will help us to get a little clearer picture of God's kingdom, of what He's looking for in the earth and maybe what He's not looking for. In 1 Peter 2 and 5 and 8, 1 Peter 2 and 5, it says, "Ye also as lively stones." You know, the scripture here describes a little bit about who we are if we're part of the body of Christ. He says, "Ye also as lively stones." There's something inside, isn't there? Something God has given us. And His church is built by that kind of thing. People whose lives are founded upon the scriptures and upon the teachings of the prophets and upon the teachings of the apostles and upon the teachings of Jesus. All those are very important. We have to build on those things. And we find that when we do that, and the Lord puts life within our soul, we become lively stones, don't we? We're not just a dead stone in part of a form. We're part of the lively stones of God that praise the Lord with our lives, that give ourselves to Him, that our lives are about the will of God. That's the people of God. And if the Lord would write to us, that He would write to the saints in Guthrie. I don't believe that's something that we cannot take, just like all the other congregations those that they wrote to in the Bible, where they said, called them saints. Oh, I want to read on down there. Are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ, Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Now who did we just find out was the chief cornerstone? Jesus, wasn't he? Was the chief cornerstone. We build upon him, don't we? Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. You know, I find this, when we believe on the Lord, when our life is given to him, he is very precious, isn't he? He's the centerpiece of our life. He's our love. We love him. We love to serve him. He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. You know that same stone, Christ, that we love, that we give our lives to willingly, that we sacrifice because we love him? That same stone, to those that don't love him, to those that don't want to serve him, he becomes a stone of stumbling. It's something in their way. It's something that causes them, they know they should be doing different. It's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, I just look at the different pictures here and you realize God's house is a spiritual house. This building, it says Church of God on the end of it. Or does it say Church of God Chapel? This is just the chapel. This is where the Church of God meets, isn't it? And so we find that the Lord is precious to his people. In Hebrews, I'm just wanting to kind of gather a picture from different angles and different sides of what the Lord wants his church to look like and what we are supposed to look like in serving the Lord. In Hebrews 3:1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren. Here he addresses them again. Holy brethren. It's just something all through the scriptures. He's not talking to sinners here. He says, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man. And you know, this morning, I believe, I feel very sure the Lord gave me these things this morning. You know, there is many things built by man. There's many human organizations. You find their fingerprints all over it. But I will tell you, the collection of God's people just coming together, that's a work of God. Every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? You know, we're called the kingdom of God, the house of God, the church of God, the kingdom of heaven. Many descriptions that it gives. A number of different descriptions of the body of Christ. We're called the body of Christ. I want to look over in Ezekiel 43:1. Uh, Okay. We'll start at verse 10, I'm sorry, and read on through 12. It says, "Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel." Now, this was the prophet Ezekiel writing. And he says here, "Show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof and all the ordinances thereof and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy." Now, you know, in the Old Testament, the most holy place was just one little place in the temple. And I believe it was 30 feet by 10 feet or something like that. And we find, maybe, I can't remember the exact dimensions, but, you know, he said, "This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy." Now, we might look around sometime and say, "Well, there's not holiness there." I will tell you, in God's house, there's holiness. It is the law of the house. And if we are a part of the house, we are holy. God wants us to be a part of His house. He wants to make us that. And He said here, "This is the law of the house." And He told him, He said, "I want you to show them the form of the house. I want you to show them what it looks like." And so this morning, we're talking about a spiritual house today. And we want to get it in our hearts and our minds. What is the house of God? What does it look like? How is it built? Who's the author of it? Who's the head of it? How does it operate? Who makes it work? And all of those things. We need those things in our hearts and in our minds to understand what God's ways are. We won't be deceived too soon if we know some of those things. This is the law of the house. This is where God's presence dwells. The most holy, He says, it's where His presence dwells. Everything in His presence has to be purified and made holy. And God does that. As we said a while ago, God has never allowed sin in His presence. Now, I want to look at the head of the church. Who is the head of the church? And who do we look to as the founder and all those things? I want to look at Colossians 1 and 18 and 19. It says here, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." Talking about Jesus Christ, isn't it? And He said, "He is the head of the body, the church, the gathering of the people. The Lord is the head." He says, this is very important. Because if one of us becomes the head, we're in great trouble. And that's where many, many sects are today. There is a head. And there are those that is the head. But He is the head of the church, of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So we see that what the Word says there. Dropping on down to the 24th verse, it says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church." So we find words used interchangeably: kingdom, church, body. We find all of these things as God's, what He is. Now let's look at some of the things that it says about these. In Ephesians 5 and 23... few other scriptures, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. You know, I just wanted to pull out of there that Christ is the head of the church. And I know there could be a whole message on men and their place and their serving as Christ serves us as the head of their home. That's the way it is, serving as the Lord served. In Acts 10 and 34, I told you I was going to read a lot of scriptures this morning. Acts 10 and 34 and 5, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said," now who is in the church of God? Is it a particular nation? Is it a particular people? Is it just the Jews? Is it just a certain color? Who is in the church of God? He says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." You know, that's the word of God this morning. There is no respect of persons with God. Isn't that wonderful? That means I can be included. That means you can be included. It wasn't just the Jews. But in every nation, he that feareth God is accepted with him. How do we get into this body then? What is the entrance that is made into the church? My mind went back to John 3 and 3. Many of us probably know what that says. John 3 and 3. He says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, this morning there has to be a change in here, in our heart, to be able to see the kingdom of God. To be able to see and visualize it. Because if there's not, it's impossible for us to be able to see it. And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, surely, surely, I'm telling you something, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, this morning, the kingdom of God is the Lord's body. It's a wonderful thing this morning. In Acts 4 and 10 through 13, just painting a picture by the scriptures, "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." You know, the Jews here, they set Jesus at naught. They crucified him. In fact, when they had their choice between him and a murderer, Barabbas, he was a man that had done much evil in that city. They said, "We'll take Barabbas," didn't they? And they cried out, "Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus." But we find here that that is the stone that was set before us. Ephesians 1 and 19. I was actually going to do this as a Bible study, and I felt like the Lord impressed me to just give this morning. Ephesians 1 and 19. "And what is the exceeding," we'll start at 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, the scripture tells us back in Isaiah that the government, it says, is upon his shoulder. And he takes that. The government of the church is the Lord's. All right. I just want us to think a little bit more here. The body of Christ is not. We see it being interchangeable with church, meaning congregation. We see it interchangeable with kingdom of God. We see all of those things. But we want to know it's not a building. It's not a certain set of rules even. The church of God is an inanimate, is made of inanimate materials. It's a spiritual body. And all the members of Christ is in that body. You know, I believe the Lord wants his body, and it's no doubt true. He wants his body to be one. But there's people out there in all kinds of places that are saved. To the best they know. You know, they're part of God's body. They're part of the church of God. I believe the Lord wants to bring his people to one. But I will tell you, the organizations that they are in, man-made organizations, if it is not this body that he's talking about, then it's called a sect. It's not something God can put his approval on. And that's why he tells us come out of those kind of places. There is one body. In Ephesians 4, we talked last week about there being one Lord. What other one could have died for our sins? Who else could have delivered us from sin but Christ? He is the only Lord, isn't he? There are many gods in the world. There are many lords. There are many religions. But there is only one Lord that delivered us. And it says here in Ephesians 4:4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You know, I believe this scripture this morning. There's a lot of ones there. I believe there's only one God. I don't think there's 10 gods. There's lots of gods of earth, but they're gods of earth. They're the sun. They're all of these things that cannot help a person. There's only one God. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ that saves us. By his name alone we can be saved, through faith in his name. It also says there is one body and one spirit. I don't believe there's 100 bodies. I don't believe there's even 10 bodies. There's just one body that the Lord recognizes as his body. And it is those who are part of this body. This is those who have been called out of places where false doctrine and sin is lived, and brought out into true light and holiness. It puts a fear in me, because it doesn't matter what's on our name, on our chapel, or what we call ourselves. We have to truly be part of the body of Christ to be part of it. We can say we're church of God. Doesn't mean that we're part of the body, unless we really are part of the body. If we teach the truth, if we live by the words of God, if we let him have the preeminence in all things, if the Lord leads and guides us, if he is the one that orchestrates the church, if he is the head, then we're part of the body of Christ, aren't we? We're part of that visible body. He said, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. You know what faith, that faith is? Speaking of, those are the things that we believe. There's only, the Lord only gave this. He didn't give three or four versions of it. He just gave this. And I believe that that one spirit that he told us will lead us into all truth. The Lord wants to lead us. Now, that's a lifetime process for us. But he wants to lead us into all his truth. And the Lord wants our lives to be full of only truth. And that's the church of God. And if we're part of that, then we're part of the church of God. And if we're not, then it doesn't matter what we claim. And I say that for several reasons. One is because it puts a great fear on me. I want the Spirit of the Lord to have preeminence here. I want Him to lead. I want the Spirit of the Lord to give messages. I want Him to work through you. I want Him to move on you when it comes time to pray. I want Him to move on you and to testify. I want the Spirit of the Lord to have His work in our midst so that we will be a part of the body of Christ. And I believe we are. But the Lord wants us to be a part of His body. In John 17 and 20, listen to what Jesus, this is just before He left. And He had some things on His heart that was heavy. And He prayed. And let me tell you, the last prayer Jesus prayed, He was praying what was on His heart. In verse 20 to 23, He said, "Neither pray I for these alone." This is the last prayer we have record of Jesus praying that I know of. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." I will tell you, if we want the world to believe the truth, the messages of truth, we have to let God have preeminence in our lives. We have to forgive one another. We have to love one another fervently. That's what He tells us to do. We have to go about doing good. Now, I know that sounds like some do's and don'ts, but I tell you, I believe the Lord wants us to know the form of the house. That's what God's people are like. Lord, help us to center up our lives in Him so that we ourselves can be a living, working, a lively stone. God working in our life. God working through our life. Us willing to die to ourselves. Willing to let the Lord have His way. That's the body of Christ this morning that we want to be a part of. And on down, well, I'll read, jumping back to 15, it says, "I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." You know, this is part of God's body. He said, they're not of the world. Folks, we have to examine ourselves and watch our lives, or else we'll become a part of the world. We'll become motivated by the things the world is motivated by. We'll have the world in our hearts if we're not careful. But the Lord said, "I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil." The Lord wants to keep our life separated from the world, the things the world loves, the spirit that the world is of, the things that they feed on, we don't feed on. And the Lord said, "I don't pray that you take them out. I pray that you keep them from the evil. I want them to be lights to this world." And He told us that He would put our, that we were to be a light to the world, the salt of the earth. That's the part of the body of Christ. I hope we're beginning to see the picture that is in my heart and in my mind that I've been seeing, that the Lord has been talking to me about. A picture of God's body. A picture of Him working like He wants to work. Having the preeminence. Christ's body is directed by the Spirit of God. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 18 and listen to this. I love this verse because I've experienced this. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." You know, in many places in the world today, people just decide what they want to be. Maybe they want to be a minister. Maybe they want to be a teacher. Maybe they want to be this or that, or they aspire to some high place in the church, or and they take all kinds of training for it. You know what God wants to give us? He says, God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord has called different ones and put His hand on them? That comes from people that are totally open to God. That comes from us actually living the scripture where it tells us to give ourselves as a sacrifice, Romans 12, and as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Then the Lord can take our life and He can begin to use it. and make it a blessing to us and to others. The Lord wants to do that. It's directed by the Holy Spirit. And He calls as He has pleased. I wouldn't want to be in a church where some committee decides we're going to pick us a pastor. I wouldn't want to be a part of that. Because I believe God wants to have the preeminence. And if He's working like He wants to work, He's going to move on somebody's heart. You know, we might ask somebody, you know, hey, pray about whatever. You know, we want the Lord to have His way in our congregation. We may put the word out. But you know what? We're looking for God to move on somebody's heart, aren't we? We're looking for the Lord to move for places that the Lord wants to move into. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And I often think when I read that scripture, you know, we don't see our big toe and we don't look at it often. But if you didn't have your big toes, you'd have a hard time being balanced. You know, the Lord has put people like that in the body. They're necessary. Those members that seem to be more feeble, hey, they're necessary. The Lord's put people like that to help stabilize us and to help us. And I believe the Lord wants to reveal to all of us His ways. But the Lord uses different ones. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord, that He might be able. As we present ourselves to the Lord, Lord, I want You to have Your way in my life. I really want You to have Your way in my life. You know, that's the way it comes. And then the Lord, He's looking for somebody to pray. He moves on this one. Then He moves on that one for something else. The Lord wants to do that in our lives. And as we tune up with the Lord, see, if we're carried away with the world, we're numbed to the things of God. If the world is too big in our life, we cannot hear those little gentle prickings because we're numb. We can't hear it. The Lord wants us to be keen to the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Aren't you glad that everybody's not the same? I'm really happy that everybody's not like me. I'm really happy everybody's not just like you. We need each other, don't we? There's differences. We work different sometimes. But I will tell you, God wants us to love one another fervently. He wants us to work together. We may sometimes have a little difference. I will tell you, the Lord doesn't want us to throw down our fellowship over some little something. The Lord wants us to walk in step. And I believe if we'll do that, He will lead us into all the truth. The Lord will lead us through our life. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Isn't that wonderful when somebody has wisdom? It's a help to us, isn't it? We run, hey, I need your gift here. Sometimes I've done that. I've seen somebody that I knew had a gift like that. I needed some information. And they helped us. And I know the Lord can give that to us straight, but He made us dependent on one another. It's part of His body. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. You know, none of these people are the it. They're just all part of the body. The Lord wants to make us all fit in our place. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Because someone has more faith than others, or because they have a gift of healing, is that something that makes them more spiritual? Not necessarily. They have to be spiritual to have those things, but it's just their part in the body. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as He will. the Spirit of God, as He will. So I thank the Lord this morning. I want to read just another couple of places, or a few other places maybe, in John 6 and 66. I think about Peter there. And here again, the Lord talks to Peter. And he says here, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, people are not always going to think we're popular. They're not always. Sometimes people turn back. But he said, then Simon Peter answered, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Peter had something down in here that would not let him just go anywhere, because he had a revelation that this was Jesus Christ, was the Christ, the Messiah, the one God had promised. And though everybody else left him, he wasn't going to leave, because he had a revelation in his heart, something about the kingdom of God. He had a revelation in his heart about the things of God. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to give us a revelation, I believe, of the church of God, of the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, all the same thing, however you want to say it. I was thinking about a few little phrases. It's a divinely built organization. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. How do you become a member? We read the scripture, by being born again. And Jesus said you had to be born again to even see the kingdom of God. Who keeps the membership? I didn't look the scripture up, but it's in Revelation, and it talks about the names being in the book. And he opened the books, and you, there our name, hopefully, is written. Hopefully, all of us, our name written in the book of life. Where is the headquarters? We read several scriptures. Jesus is the head, isn't he? Who organizes it? Who causes everything to come together? Well, we all work in our place, don't we? We help one another. But I will tell you who calls, who sends, who anoints. That's the Spirit of God. He does that. Who organizes it? The Spirit of God has set the members in the body as it has pleased Him. And you know, as we get close, as we live close to the Lord, as saints, that He calls us in the Scripture, saints, as we live that way by the grace of God, by the power of God, sure, we're going to be tempted, but those that withstand temptation, I believe the Lord puts His approval on. What about other churches that are built by men? Those things the Bible refers to as Babylon, I believe. It's because it's confusion when it comes to the holiness, the trueness of God's Word. And the Lord tells us in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, I want us to all take this home with us, these little thoughts about the kingdom of God, the church of God. What is it? The Lord, even we find through the scriptures where He called it the church of God. We're careful to follow all the will of God. If we're part of the body, we're very careful about those things. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. There's a lot of unclean spirits. And this wasn't talking specifically about that when it was written, but I believe it applies. There are unclean spirits that the Lord does not want us to touch, because we come away with the smell of it on us. We come away with the smell of the smoke if we do that in a way that God is displeased with, when we go places He's displeased with. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Isn't that wonderful? That's the relationship God wants to have with His church. And again, let's don't put church as a stigma with His people, with His body. with His congregation everywhere. It's much bigger than we are here. We're only just a part of that. But God has a church, and He wants us to be a part of His church, part of His body, living separated from the fingers of man being on it. I was thinking, I want to say two more scriptures right quick. In Daniel 2 and 44, we heard this morning. excuse me. He says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Did you know that God told hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, He gave this king, Nebuchadnezzar here, a dream. And he saw a great statue. And he saw a head of gold. And then the different layers, and the feet were partly of clay, and was it brass? No, of iron and clay. And you know, we see that, and he said that these different parts of this image were different kingdoms. And he told Nebuchadnezzar, yours is the head of gold. And then we know the Medes and the Persians came in after that. And then we know, what was it, the Grecian kingdom, I believe. Right, Brother Jim? And then we see the Roman kingdom come up. And he told about these things. And he said, in the days of these kings, the Roman kingdom, that was in power when Christ was born and when He was crucified. He said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You know, the Lord set up a kingdom at that time, and it's still there today just as much as it was then. It has the people in heaven are part of this kingdom. The Lord is part of this kingdom, and His saints are part of this kingdom. In 7 and 14 of Daniel, it says, and there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I just want us to keep in mind, what is this kingdom? It's not an organization of man that somebody set up, that even any of us set up. It is something God set up at the time of Christ. All of His people, He didn't set up a pope, did He? No, they had ministers that gave and served. And we want to follow in that example and be part of His kingdom, following Him, being humble, letting God have the preeminence in our midst, not usurping the power of the Holy Spirit. When I hear that some place has made some kind of a little handout that tells exactly what's going on in the service, that really hurts me, because that's the Lord's preeminence. That's the Spirit of God's place. He moves. Have you ever been moved upon by the Spirit of God? Been sitting in your seat and your heart start burning and the words come from heaven, or a song drop upon you and the Lord begin to move? That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. He wants to have that kind of preeminence in our services. I hope it is always so, that we let the Lord have His way. That's why we don't write out a list of songs that we're going to sing, because I hope that somebody has a song drop on their heart from the Lord and we sing that. I hope the Lord can move upon somebody. We say, is it time for special songs? You know what I hope? I hope somebody has a special testimony. I don't want to corral the service down to a certain way. If the Lord wants to use all of us here and different ones begin to speak and glorify God, and the Lord's in it, I would just as soon hear from you as for me to take this place on a Sunday morning even. Because we want the Lord to have preeminence in all things. It is a special blessing. That to me is one of the greatest blessings we have in the kingdom of God, is watching the Spirit of the Lord begin to move, and He touches somebody's heart and calls them. And they're called. Amos, he said, he was called, what was he, a sheep herder, I believe. And he was called from that. How did he know? Because God spoke to him. He said, Amos, he wanted Amos to come and do some work for him. You know, the Lord wants to touch our lives like that too. He wants to put our lives on fire, but we have to make Him first. He has to have the preeminence in our life, or He cannot work like that. That's the kingdom of God. It's the work of the Spirit, and we love to see it. I love to see it in our services. In our camp meetings, I have many times witnessed the Lord working, giving, supplying, moving in our midst. I have seen Him do that. And I thank the Lord that I've had that privilege. Amen.